It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Raul LaBrescia is here with another edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Nothing could be finer than to be on Carolina in the morning. Nothing better than a Funyun is a chat with my friend Ramthan at McFarland's. Yes, that's right, folks. We've got John Ramthan sitting across the table from me, looking very excited, looking awake, looking ready to attack the world. Thanks for being with us this morning, John. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely glad to be here. Had my cup of coffee, so I am ready to go.
You're going to need at least three of them to keep up with me this morning. I think I already been chewing on some of these espresso beans before I came into the office, too. So, yeah, I'm wired and ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. So, John, you have been on the show before. Your wife has been on the show with us before. And I realize we are long overdue to get an update both on the organization that you work with, Making Service Personal, 6-8. But give people a little background. John, you are the executive director of 6-8, along with your wife, lovely wife, Sarah. Sarah, if you're out there listening, you better be. Thanks for all the work that both of you do in that organization. But tell a little bit about your background. Are you from the area? All that good stuff? You know, born and raised here? Why did you stay? Why didn't you go away? You know, all those good things.
So my wife, Sarah, and I, as you mentioned, we met in college. We were college sweethearts at UW-Madison and fell in love, got married, moved to the area. A job brought us here doing youth ministry through the Catholic Church and community, and we did that for 6 years. Loved the community, loved the families. We were embraced and just loved the geography of the area and fell in love. And then after doing that, we felt a call that God was calling us out of youth ministry and doing more service ministry and helping to build community within the community that we live in and through volunteering and helping those in need. Okay. And just rallying around that and breaking down some of those barriers between those that are serving and those that are receiving the service. And that's where we get our name, Making Service Personal, comes from. And 6-8 came out of that.
Well, because there really is kind of an issue, I think, in my own life, I think of that as, I think I remember my mom talking about my dad even during the Depression, how things would show up on their doorstep. You know, people that knew that he was out of work at one point, and the baskets of food would show up, and my dad would be like just offended that someone brought, you know, I don't need charity. So there was that attitude of, you know, well, I need help, and it's okay to need help, you know, but he had that stigma about it. And so learning how to receive it is, I think, very difficult for some people, and then learning how to give in a way that can be more easily received, because you don't want somebody going, oh, well, yeah, this is how the poor people live, you know, that sort of, that doesn't help.
Yeah, exactly. We try to, actually, that's one of our mantras, is try to make our service not seem like charity, but just for us to realize that we all are in need, that we all have things to give, and we have all things that we need, and that as humans, we need each other. We survive by community, and I think some of the great advancements in technology and transportation has isolated some of us, but that there's an undertone that we just need each other. And so volunteering and helping, maybe there's somebody who needs food, but you need companionship, or you need just another human interaction. And so we like to bring those things together and bringing people together. And then we see lives transformed. And that's another part of our mission statement, is transforming community by making service personal. And that those go hand in hand.
Sure. Well, and you come from fairly, I want to say, kind of a farming background, right? Grew up in the West Bend area.
Exactly. Yep. West Bend, just north of Milwaukee, on a family farm, and my dad and brothers and sisters are still making that happen.
Okay. Do you think that was part of the fabric of your family growing up, of serving and doing things for others? And I know Jerry Apps talks about that in some of his books, that his family was always, because they were farmers, there were folks in the community that they knew they needed help, and they would make sure that, you know, they reached out and brought them a pie or something.
Exactly. Yeah, I think farming, just in the very fabric of farmers, there's this knit in there, this need for community. And I remember growing up on the farm, when a neighbor was in need, we you know, put a helping hand out there. And one time we had a disaster on our farm, a silo fell down, destroying some of our barns and killing several animals. And by the end of that day, we had about, you know, two backhoes and 40 neighbors there, and things just kept showing up. And we had we rescued several animals, but it was probably 100 people there were for supper time, and food showed up, and it was just an amazing sentiment of community.
Around
the neighborhood.
Well, and when you have those things, there is that sense of, boy, it's good to be alive. You know, just,
right?
Those are the moments where it's like there is still some hope for us. We shouldn't push the button quite yet.
Exactly.
Which there are other times when that's not so much the case. But did Sarah come from a similar kind of background? Did she understand that the same way you did, or
she grew up in the Milwaukee area, Franklin area.
Okay.
Her mom's side has a dairy farm, and they still farm. So she had some farming background, so she brings a whole nother, you know, set of skills going to school in Central City of Milwaukee, and having a different dynamic of needs in the world and
sure.
different how communities lived. And that was a great, I would say, bringing of the two of our worlds together. We compromised. She thought coming to Sauk would be the going from Milwaukee to Sauk was going to the small town Hickville, and I came from a farming community where there was nobody, to Sauk was moving to the big city. So we each compromised in our marriage there.
River City, here I come. Yeah. Well, you know, and given our proximity to Madison, it really is kind of a... It really is a compromise. So
yeah.
It's not like it's that far away to get to something if you want a little larger metropolitan service. It's available without too much trouble. So
yeah, we both completely fell in love. In a three block walk, we can hit at the post office, the library, the grocery store, and what else do you need?
Pretty much taken care of.
Yep.
So not to mention the surroundings, which actually we'll hear after this show. Augie Dierlis readings, the description of this area, if you're not familiar with it. Those that might be listening internationally to our radio podcast right now, he does a wonderful job of painting those pictures, so you understand this is a place where you take photos of it. And I've had friends that I've sent pictures of, you know, this is the Wisconsin River, it's like three blocks from my house, and like, you go by that every day? I'm like, well, yeah, I think. And like, whoa! So we take it for granted, I think, sometimes. But so your experience with making service personal, how long has that organization been going? Are they 3-4 years now? Five?
A little longer than that. We started in 2010. So
okay. Gosh, 7 years.
We're actually coming up on, is today June 6th? It is.
Yeah.
7th,
yeah.
Sorry.
So 6-6, that's right.
Tomorrow is June 8th,
okay.
And tomorrow is our birthday.
6-8.
We turn 7 tomorrow, so we've been an organization for 7 years.
Okay.
And it's been a whirlwind. The last 7 years has been great, and there's a lot of really great things coming up for the future of 6-8.
Sure.
We're excited.
Well, you've got a new facility that you've been working on, right? Just down the block.
Yeah,
we'll be
neighbors from McFarland's. Just behind the McFarland's, we have a building that we've purchased, and we are in a capital campaign.
Okay.
So the Sauk Prairie Food Pantry will be moving into the building with us, and then
okay.
we will be, 6-8 will be partnering with them and having a meal program and teaching classes around food. There's a community garden that will be going in. In fact, it's already being planted today, in fact.
Okay. Wow.
Yep. And
you've already been doing programs like that. I mean, that's one of 6-8's outreaches is the adult learning class.
Exactly. Yeah, we have classes for adults, learning for life, we call it. And it's classes around finance, employability, life skills, and health and wellness and family life. And so just trying to reach those needs to help teach people to help themselves and to get what they need and really align with education around specifically where their areas of needs are.
Okay.
And this building will allow for that to really partner with the food pantry and to have a space where we can have our classes set up to be able to offer more and have bigger, larger classes and things like that.
Sure. Well, just having that capacity, there's a reason why they call them facilities, you know, because they facilitate things.
Correct, yeah.
So, I imagine the possibilities will seem endless before very long at all, if they're not already.
Yes.
So, are there specific programs coming up this summer that you want to make sure, beyond the big one, which we'll talk about after we take a break here in just a minute, but are there programs throughout the summer that people should be watching for, or ways and people can become involved, besides the capital campaign, of course, right?
Yeah, correct. We still have a gap in the capital campaign, so if you'd like to get involved in that. But additionally, the garden will be going throughout the summer. Renovations will begin here in hopefully June.
Okay.
And then 3 or 4 months in this fall, we hope to be completed and moving into the building. So there would be some opportunities if there are some folks. Our contractor is taking volunteers, okay, if they're interested, to help save some dollars that way. As well as the garden, it's planting today, as I said, and be weeding and taking care of it and harvesting it. And we'll have some opportunities to learn how to grow and how to harvest and preserve your food coming this fall. So a lot of opportunities outdoors, and really focusing on the building itself.
Okay.
And we have our fall semester lined up for classes. So coming early in the fall, we'll have those education classes coming as well.
Okay. And you've always done things. I've always appreciated the fact that there are four things that I think we assume everyone knows, but not everyone does know. I mean, even things like having a home budget, and really what does it take to put together a family budget. And there are lots of people that know that they should do that, but they have no idea how to do that. And how, you know, once you've got the budget, then how do you, you know, analyze it and kind of reevaluate and decide, is this pie in the sky, or, you know, do I really need to learn to say no to going out every Friday, or, you know, I mean, all the things that what it does is force you kind of an awareness level that most people would rather not think about it. I think, you know, I just want to spend, right? I just want to spend.
Right.
It's like our government. I just want to spend. So,
yeah.
So I think of things like that, like the balancing the checkbook, the planning a family budget. But then the meals programs that you do, I think, are really, really cool. How you're not only teaching people to cook, but then sending them away with a number of meals that then they're covered for, what, 20 meals or something like that?
Yeah. We have different multiple classes. We have a freezer cooking class, so that teaches a lot of steps, but you get your hands dirty and you're cooking and you're cooking your own food and you're taking it home and it's like you're practically packing your freezer when you leave our class, so you have ready to go if you're in a busy life and coming home from work. It just offers opportunities to eat smarter, get out of the box, and subsidize that food budget a little bit.
Sure.
And so that is our most popular. We have a fall cooking class too that uses the fall harvest style of cooking and what to do with that. And we're looking into having many more cooking opportunities. We're having a full kitchen and teaching kitchen put into this building as well.
Well, and having the food pantry as a partner in that process, I mean, what a great symbiotic relationship. So
yeah, exactly. So we'll have specific meals tied to the food pantry distributions, and the meals and the classes around those food will tie into what's available at the food pantry to help us to be, this is what we have to work with, how are we going to go? And really, it's an easier way to save some money is to cook with what you have.
Sure. Sure. Well, and then to just think about the kinds of decisions you make when you are purchasing food, because it's really difficult, I think, for as busy as people are, to be thinking about, you know, well, what's the most cost-effective way of stretching my dollar? I always think of it in terms of, you know, peanut butter and crackers, because that's what I lived on when I was in college, you know.
Right.
That was cheap and easy, but it's not necessarily the best way to conduct a family's, you know, menu planning.
In the long term, probably not.
Tastes good for a long time.
But,
or ramen noodles, you know, there's another one. Everyone that's going to college goes, oh, ramen noodles, yeah, 39 cents a pack. So, but...
Yes.
Anyways, well, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with John Ramtham, the executive director of the Making Service Personal organization right in town here. We'll be back in just a little bit. We're going to talk about Fire on the River, which is a project and an event that's near and dear to both of our hearts. But don't go anywhere, because you want to hear about all the big scoop and get the right information right here on WRPQ Radio, 99.7 FM Radio in Baraboo, Sauk Prairie. Don't go anywhere, because this is important. I'm telling you, it's important. If you don't believe me, well, I don't know why you don't believe me. What have I done that you wouldn't believe me? I'm sorry. Take a break. We'll be right here. Come right back.
Summer is warm weather, the great outdoors, and some common health ailments. These can include sunburn, poison ivy, tick and insect bites, bee stings, sinus, pink eye, earaches, and sore throats. When illness strikes, see the Prairie Express Clinic at 112 Helen Street in Sauk City. Prairie Express is a walk-in clinic providing the best possible care for patients ages 12 months and up. Prairie Express Clinic offers convenient hours of 9 to 7 Mondays, 1 to 7 Tuesday through Thursday, and Fridays 9 to 4. Prairie Express Clinic, dedicated to caring for the community the past 60 years.
Diamond, It's a magical word, isn't it? While diamonds are associated with engagements and weddings, they make wonderful gifts anytime. See Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop in the Baraboo Mini Mall on Highway 12, Baraboo today. Sophie's offers a beautiful choice of diamond engagement rings and perfect diamond gifts in earrings, pendants, and bracelets. Sophie's also offers in-store financing to qualified buyers with up to 1 year free interest. Diamonds. See them this week at Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts in the Baraboo Mini Mall on Highway 12, Baraboo.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com.
And we're back here on WRPQ Radio 99.7. We're just chatting away here, folks. You know that we go off the air and we just start talking about things. And we've got a radio audience this evening or this morning as well. So there's three of us now that we can just start chatting. So if it sounded unprofessional there, I guess it was. But, you know, this is community radio, right? So we could eke by a little bit, right? Anyways, John, we have got exciting stuff talking about. I mean, there are posters that are just going out now. So people are becoming aware of Fire on the River, which Fire on the River has transformed just tremendously in the past 5 years. I mean, I remember, 4 years ago or something like that, was the last time the VFW actually conducted it down at VFW Park and Prairie du Sac. And VFW was just overwhelmed with it. They've been doing it for 35 years or something. It was just becoming really difficult for them to continue doing it. And I know at that point the Chamber looked at possibly bringing it on as a project that the Chamber would do, but the resources for the Chamber to become just another event thing that the Chamber had to do was going to be hard. So then we approached 6-8 and said, hey, would you guys want to do this? And you graciously stepped up to the plate and said, boy, we have no idea, but we'll give it a try. So now in the past 3 years, 6-8 had been really kind of leading that effort in a huge way. And so Fire on the River went from being a fireworks event to being a whole lot more. In fact, to the point last year where I think you and Sarah were just about killed. I remember seeing you out like Tuesday pounding stakes into the ground and on the park and whatnot. So now this year we've transitioned from that model to something else. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and just as Raul was saying, that the event has, what it did was taken off in the last 4 years. We've led it for 3 years, and the community, for whatever reason, responded. I think the changing the branding a little bit and making a full day and adding a festival around the fireworks was what the community was looking for, and it became larger than what one organization could handle, doing all the games and the food and the music and handling all under house. And so,
and the volunteer coordination alone, what did you have, something like 250, or was it more than that?
425 volunteers. Yeah.
Volunteer shifts that had to
just
be
over the weekend times, and that doesn't include the planning and the setup and things. So it was larger than what one of our one organization could do. And so 6-8 reorganized a little bit this year, and we had some huge partners with the Riviera Bowl and Kiwanis Club stepping on the planning team and taking over large portions of the event, and 6-8 still taking the event coordination of the event, so that the event will become larger, in fact, this year. And so it's growing again, and we're excited to see the new changes It's growing so big it couldn't even stay on one day. So we are growing to 2 days.
We had to add an extra room. So
we're adding Friday to this year, and we are excited to see that and really be able to expand the food offerings and the game offerings and the event that 6-8 couldn't do by itself. So we're excited.
Sure. Well, and it was at that point where it was either going to continue to grow, well, and even with Vintage Brewery going up and what that did to the space, I know that people are probably looking at that as they drive by going, how in the world are they going to have, you know, Fire on the River? And well, you know, if you get behind it, you can see that there's still quite a bit of real estate there for where people will be able to sit and enjoy the fireworks. But then having that whole parking lot available to us, which is really, that's the area where I'm trying to focus my efforts, because we're the Klinkner family that owns the Ace Hardware building there. They're allowing us to use that whole parking lot space for beer tent and main stage setup and There's some wonderful cooperation there within members of the community and businesses in the community to just make this able to happen the way it's happening. So, but you said the new night. Tell us a little bit about what's happening on that next new night.
Yeah, so Friday, June 30th will be the kickoff of Fire on the River, and we're starting off with a huge get the crowd participation. So we're having a battle of the bands and a battle of the restaurants. Not one battle is good enough for us. So, and we will the audience will be able to participate by voting via text. U.S. Cellular in town is setting up a short code that people will be able to text in. Much like American Idol, where each band and each restaurant will have a code, and they'll be able to type in and vote, and they'll be able to see real-time results on which one's winning. And so there'll be bands going on in the background and people voting, and then food. We currently have four venues in. We have the Riv, Vintage, Any Street Grill, and Bob's Barbecue. And so those ones will be competing, and then the bands will be playing. And there'll be cash prizes for both of those winners, as well as prime location, and the band will be able to be invited back to play right before the headliner on Saturday. Yeah. So we're excited about Friday night, and then after the battles finish up, we will have Cherry Pie coming in on Friday for our headliner Friday night and play into the night.
So there, I think we're scheduled to have them play from like 8:30 or 9 o'clock until midnight. Great cover band. We did a lot of research in terms of listening to a bunch of different bands, and they're out of the Milwaukee area. So it's a really strong regional group. I know Cherry Pie's been here before in town. I believe they've been at least a Couch Chip Festival a few years back or so. So hopefully people in the area remember them and remember they do some great Journey covers and all that. You know, the music I grew up with. At least so lots of fun there, and the Battle of the Bands thing is an exciting thing for me. I mean, I think having area groups that have an opportunity to get out there and, you know, perform for people, and like you said, if they get the most number of votes, they'll be opening for the group the next day, which Saturday we have Chris Picard's Dance Company is coming in and performing first thing, I believe, at 3 o'clock, and then right after Chris Picard's group gets done, we're bringing in another band, Thirsty Jones, from the Madison area. Thirsty Jones be playing a couple hour set, which is they're a wonderful group, kind of country rock, country folk orientation. In fact, they're going to be playing at June Tunes too, I think, either next week or the week after, so people get a chance to get a preview of how good they are. Christy Klaus, I think, or Kirsty Klaus is the lead singer for that, and dynamite vocalist. And then the Battle of the Bands winner gets to perform. And then our return guest from last year, Retrospects, who was a big smash with people last year, will be playing Into the Night. So they'll play a set or so before fireworks, and then after the fireworks, keep the party going until midnight or thereabouts. Oh, and of course, our VFW, and don't forget, we want to do our salute to our veterans as well. So VFW and Matt Brennan, it will be coming down and singing this year as well for the vocalists. So lots of cool stuff. But this the restaurants, can you talk a little bit about that and the kind of food offerings that people should expect this year?
Yeah, that's a huge benefit to expanding the event outside of just one organization is we have a much larger variety of food. The menus haven't fully been set, but I've heard that there's going to be the river is going to have some pizza, chicken breast sandwiches, corn on the cob. I've heard of a hamburger on a stick, quarter brown hot dogs. There'll be brats down there.
Hamburger on a stick.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but it sounds like if it's a festival, you got to put it on a stick. You know, that's how it works.
It's true. If it's not on a stick, it's probably not festival worthy. So, but what are you going to do?
In addition to those food offerings on Friday, though, too, there'll be a bridge side food court. So that's now down towards the bridge where all the youth and family games will be. There'll be a huge lineup of games again, bounce houses and other games and activities, festival things there that the Kiwanis Club is coordinating and organizing as well. And they will have four or five nonprofit groups that will have food vendors down there, and the food variety will arrange there. Quite a large food variety there as well, including popcorn and ice cream and things like that in the evening. So.
Okay. And there's been because of the expansion of it, there's really been a sort of a rethinking of who should participate in this too. I mean, I guess I want to go on the record saying too that if people aren't noticing that there are more local restaurants are participating, that was not the intention of the 6-8 planning or the Fire on the River planning committee. There, this I think other businesses have just realized it's a big undertaking to try to set up a remote location like that and be able to service that and your regular clientele as well. And one of the things that this event, I think, does do for the community is that those benefits, those businesses benefit from all the people that come into town. So for them to stretch themselves thin to not only cover the increase in business in their door, then to try to put people down on the premises just gets to be real hard. So please don't anyone out there think that we didn't want somebody to be a food tent or a food provider. That was not the case.
Yes. So. Yeah, we reached out to the local community first, and the largest response, as Raul was saying, is there's this festival going on that day, so I'm very busy. and we are grateful to provide that busyness for
really us. What festival? Yeah. So yeah, you do kind of wonder sometimes, don't you? So well, thank you then. We appreciate that. Are there other things that with the games event? What sorts of things will be down there that Kiwanis are running?
I know they have bounce houses. I think they have a dunk tank lined up as well, and then there's the giant shot put, not shot put, sorry, basketball hoop.
Okay,
and I'm sure a range of festival games that they'll have coin toss and bottle toss and things like that.
Arcade kinds of games, those kinds of things. So lots of, and I know my daughter has worked down at that part of the festival for a number of years, and she said it's just so precious to watch these kids. They go down and they just want to stay there for hours and hours and hours. And I think it's wonderful to provide a thing like that for families too, that they can just come down and the kids can enjoy themselves. There's plenty of food to eat, plenty of music to listen to, all that good stuff.